coming up next on KSCO. It's hour number one of the Dr. Future Show.
Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. From last week, we continue the saga of the future in the now.
That's right. Here and now in Santa Cruz on a gorgeous day, and the future is unfolding as it should.
Yeah. Now, if you're live, this is definitely a time to be listening through headphones out on the beach.
Definitely. I mean, especially if you're anywhere in the Southern Bay Area.
Yeah.
Doesn't get better than this. We saw a whole beach party on their way down there. Kids, teenagers, mom, taking advantage of this beautiful weather.
Did any of you see all the whales out in the Monterey Bay? I understand there's a large anchovy population in our bay that's apparently unprecedented in size. Okay, now back to the future. This week, we actually did go back to the future. We went to a 50s and a 60s party, both in the same night.
That's right. We were very busy in the Wayback Machine this week.
Two birthday parties, two really cool people. One was in Santa Clara Valley, in that other side of the hill where people live in a little closer proximity to each other. And then there was a beautiful mansion 60s party up on Skyline. And that was something. See all of Santa Cruz down below us. Well, we lived in the past, at least for an evening.
At least we dressed for the past.
Yeah.
As
well, it
usual.
Does get you into the mind space, though, don't you think? When you dress somewhere, that's half the fun of costumes. You start to feel like you are Marilyn Monroe or Clint Eastwood.
That's right. And, of course, I went to the very square 50s party in my very hip 60s beatnik costume. And I felt very Mrs. Future.
Mrs. Future, that was brilliant. Here she is. She figures out the perfect costume for both a 50s and a 60s party.
That's right. Presto changeo. I can fit into any decade I need to. Yeah. That's what time travel is all about.
Yeah. And beats transcended it, right, from the 50s to the 60s. So being a good beat, you were in both dimensions, the 50s and the 60s.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Many of us who are Apple geeks were both amused, amazed, and some disappointed in the iOS 7 release this week.
However, we have put it on all of our iOS devices, so we're definitely getting the firsthand experience. We're not holding out. We're going for it.
We'll give you the actual report on it. I must say, you know, our programmer partner did not like iOS 7 at first. It seems like all the typography, the look and feel were just not cool.
Yes. Mark Buchanan relates very well to that viral video about the four-year-old kid who can't stop crying because his iOS is not the same.
I know.
He can't get used to it.
No more skeuomorphism. Oh. Skeuomorphism was a big popular thing with Steve Jobs. That's for the people who like tangible physical references to things on their icons. Like if you're going to go to the bathroom, you see a picture of a toilet. You know, you go to a radio studio, you see a picture of somebody behind a microphone. That sort of thing.
You should use an iPad-centric example. The kind of things like the Game Center sort of looks like it has pool table with green felt. That kind of skeuomorphism.
Yeah, and if it's accurate green and it looks like a pool table, that's skeuomorphic. If it's more abstract, then it's abstract.
Right. But in the design world, the big shift has been from the old skeuomorphic world of previous designers at Apple to the preference for transparency and lightness. Everything kept getting thinner and lighter until there was just nothing left. And in some people's mind, maybe Apple just jumped off a cliff somewhere. Like, there's been a lot of people who feel the design is just plain childish.
Well, the thing is that I do like the transparency because, like layers in Photoshop, you can have many layers to an image. And you can change the opacity of each layer and combine them and mix them at will. It's a wonderful freedom. I'm all for that. I think that's the way video's going, too, where we have many layers of which all can be composited in various ways. I'm all excited about that.
Yeah, less is more. I'm a big believer that less is more. I'm perfectly happy with the design.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Iowa 7. So any thoughts on that? We are curious about what you think.
That's right. And we have a few links for people, too, if you want to see what the internet world is saying about the new iOS design.
Yeah. One of the big features is FaceTime audio. That means that anyone else who has an iPhone or an iPad, you can talk to over FaceTime with audio using a 3G link or Wi-Fi. So it's an alternative to the phone system. It starts to make it so that there's less and less a need for an actual phone.
Hey, you know, I guess we've hit a nerve out here. We've got a few people calling in.
All right.
Why don't we say hello to Anil in Seattle?
Yes.
Hi, Anil. Welcome to Dr. Future.
Yes.
Do you have something to tell us about your thoughts on the new iOS for Apple?
Or a previous thought.
Or something else. What are you interested in today?
No, actually, I called for a radio show to Steve Gregg, you know.
You called for a radio show to do what?
Ask a question in Bible question and answers. Redirected to this.
Okay, well, ask away. We're ready for any question you can throw at us.
You are live.
Okay.
Would you like to know?
What's
going to happen to you in the future?
Yes.
No, I know. I know what's going to happen to my future because I'm in the right path. So I believe in Jesus. So it's everything is going well. So all I'm interested is to ask a Bible question to Steve Gregg, but I'm redirected to this. I'm sorry for that.
That's all right. Listen, do you think Jesus believes in robots?
That's for me a dumb question. You know.
Why is it dumb?
Why it's dumb? Yeah, if you want to see humans with the machine brain, it might be a good question. But humans are full of spirit and, you know, life.
Mm.
So
why
should
we play with robots? Because they're so stupid and brainless and irrelevant. Is that why we play with them? I'm just wondering, you know, what you really think.
Yeah. I have so many views, but I can't tell them right away. Thank you for
that. Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay, Anil. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm not sure if that was the wrong number.
Well, we did say talk radio is about sex, politics, and religion.
Right? That's true.
Yeah,
that's
so true. That was definitely the religion.
Yes. Well, and we do welcome your points of view out there, folks. This is talk radio. And why do we call it that? Because we like to talk. And we like to invite you to talk with us. And the number here at KSCO for all of the regulars, of course, you know, it's the call sign 1080. That's 831-479-1080. And this is the Dr. Future Show, and we like to talk about the future. And we bring all kinds of fascinating factoids, which we publish on our website, thedrfutureshow.com. And you can go to the links page, and you can see firsthand the kind of information that we're tracking about what's going on in the evolving world of the future. So,
hey, folks. What,
speaking of the future, boy, we have some fashionistas here. We've got MZ and a couple of
Miss Marge.
My goodness. Right. And you guys are in some very hot fashions that I have not seen before.
Let's see between them, MZ. That would be really good.
All right. So let me give you a little description here.
Yeah, you tell her what's going on.
Because Michael's Whirling is here with two beautiful women, and he has got one of the biggest smiles on his face that I think I've ever seen in my whole life. And they look like they are maybe going to take a walk, have some fun. The ladies are wearing some really cool jumpsuits.
Psychedelic.
I would say they're kind of psychedelic. They're in those bright, fashionable neon colors like pink and green and blue.
That's Wallach's original distributor. Right
here.
3 years ago, Sharp Murphy.
Oh, tell us more.
Put on for a second.
Doc Wallach's original distributor here on the station. Have a seat right there, Sharp. All right, getting the grand tour here.
You're talking about psychedelic 60s. Here it is.
Yeah, right from the 60s.
Yeah, amazing. We were at a 60s party this weekend. So.
Yeah, you guys would have fit right in.
That's the thing about not gaining weight all your life. You can still wear the original 70s and 60s and 70s clothes, which I still have.
Oh, awesome.
So are these retro or are these new?
We actually made these. This is actually handmade swimsuit material that I had for years. So
you guys must be close friends. To wear the matching outfits.
We work together. We're sisters from Michigan.
Sisters.
All right, sisters,
and close
right?
friends, yep.
Wow. Very cool.
Yep.
Well, I can tell you, being in touch with the trends as I am, you guys are spot on. These are the hot colors. You're in the colors that all of the new iPhone C's just came out in, yeah. right? For what it's worth.
Yeah, we're promoting those.
Well,
yeah.
You know, if you get attention, two dressed the same gets more attention than one, and you got to get people's attention so you can snag them and try to recruit them, right?
Oh, definitely. So you guys are out here on a snag mission, huh?
Oh, yeah.
How's it going so far?
It's going great.
Yeah. MZ taking you to some interesting places, no doubt.
Oh, absolutely. We just walked around the whole lagoon here.
Did you?
Yeah.
You see any whales out there?
Not whales.
We got an active search here for whales. We heard there's more than ever in our bay right
really?
Now. Yeah.
Talking about the fish kind, right?
Okay.
Well, there's anchovies, too.
Why don't you have a seat?
Yeah, you want to sit down for a second?
Come join us. Let's talk about what brings you out here from Michigan. I mean, were you just trying to get away from the bad weather? Or
no, we had a show up in Oregon called PranaFest. It was in Ashland, Oregon.
Oh, I heard about PranaFest.
And,
yeah,
we did that this year for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we drove from Oregon down here to San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And met MZ at his penthouse.
Oh, you've been there, huh?
That's where we're staying right now. That's where we slept last night.
What a great introduction to San Francisco. Man, that's awesome.
Oh, the view is priceless. Oh, my gosh.
That's great. And just to do a little shameless promotion here, what do you have to say about all the new longevity stuff? What are your favorite products?
Well, I've been taking the health stuff forever. I am 70 years old. I have not been to a medical doctor in over 24 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Sick. And I take close to 60 capsules every morning and probably about half of that in the afternoon and the liquids, of course. And I had my bone density test just before I turned 65. I fell on the ice in front of my sister so hard on my side that my neck snapped, and she thought I broke my arm.
Wow.
And I said, no, I just got a free adjustment. So that was my bone density test the hard way. I was running up the escalator in Detroit just before I turned 69, and the guy behind me says, I can't keep up with you. And I said, I'm going to be 69 next month. And he said, I'm 35, and I can't keep up with you. So that was another test.
Wow. And how many years have you been taking all these great DocWallet products?
Almost 24 years in the spring. And like I said, again, I feel as good as I did in my 20s and 30s.
Wow.
And I can jokingly, but it's true, I can outdo any 35-year-old that doesn't take medicine.
Hear that? Any 35-year-old out there, you guys will like that. How about tennis?
I've never been into tennis, but I can outwalk anybody. Michael showed us a movie with Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall.
Yes, the one with the
steps. Well, guess what? Margie and I walked from Pier 39 to Pier 23 and then up all the steps yesterday.
Wow.
And I made it up.
All the steps to the penthouse.
Yep, all in there. And then all the steps to the penthouse because Michael came ahead of us. So.
Wow. So you guys are quite a living poster.
I think so, yeah.
What's next? Pogo Nip?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. See, he's open.
All right. Well, okay. Hey, it's officially time to go to a break from our sponsors. So,
thanks for being on the show.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Great.
So what were your names again?
Visit
to Charmaine.
Murphy.
Blue. And Marge.
Blue Hot Singer.
All right, folks.
Boo-boo.
You would not believe how beautiful these ladies are. So, longevity, check it out. Okay. Here's some sponsors.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. Boy, you just never know what's going to happen in the future, into the present for that matter at this point, eh?
Oh, I tell you, it's a hopping world out here. These women, I was shocked when they told me Char is about to have her 50th wedding anniversary next month, and she barely looks 50 years old.
I do have a piece related to this.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
What would that be?
One of our headliner pieces today is about Calico. It's a new company that Google has announced. It's focused on health and well-being. Google today announced Calico, a new company that will focus on health and well-being, in particular the challenge of aging and associated diseases, which is what we were just talking about here. These ladies were both 70.
Yes, and of course, everybody who listens to KSEO knows that one of the best things you can do to resist the ravages of time is to take all those longevity products and keep your minerals and your nutrition up to speed. And Doc's still doing his show every day where people can call in and ask questions. And of course, we've got all those great products here at Longevity.
Yeah, and the whole health industry is going crazy with new ideas right now. There's a renaissance going on in that world.
And so what is Google's contribution?
Larry Page said, quote, "Illness and aging affect all our families. With some longer-term moonshot thinking around healthcare and biotech, I believe we can improve millions of lives. It's impossible to imagine anyone better than Art." Now, Art, he refers to as Art Levinson, who's his buddy in this venture. Now, Art Levinson, just to give you an idea where he is in our society, he's chairman of Genentech.
Oh, Genentech, sure. Okay. That was a company that my mother was invested in many, many years ago. She was involved in the Laetril research that was going on. That was one of their big claims to fame back
in the 80s. And biotech itself, a pioneer in biotech. He's also director of a little company called Hoffman LaRoche.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's big pharma. And he's also chairman of Apple Computer, one guy. So this is Larry Page's buddy.
His health mentor, partner.
So, yeah, right.
Okay, so moonshot thinking around health. What does that mean?
Art said, "I've devoted much of my life to science and technology with the goal of improving human health. Larry's focus on outsized improvements has inspired me, and I'm tremendously excited about what's next." It's a little PR there, but that's an interesting alliance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he will remain on the board of Genentech, and he will stay director of Hoffman LaRoche, and he will be chairman of Apple at the same time playing with Google now.
Hmm.
And Larry Page.
All right.
And Tim Cook chimes in saying, "For many of our friends and family, life has been cut short, or the quality of their life is too often lacking. Art is one of the crazy ones who thinks it doesn't have to be this way. There's no one better suited to lead this mission, and I'm excited to see the results." Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, commenting on Art Levinson's project in this new company called Calico, focused on aging and associated diseases. That's interesting. It's also interesting that Google's also where Ray Kurzweil is now headquartered.
Yeah.
Who's been talking about this stuff for a generation now.
Right. So I guess Google is planning to be around for a long time.
How's their stock doing?
It's on the up. Definitely on the up and up.
Google
I'm sure of
stock.
That.
Okay. It says it's 886.84.
886.84?
Yeah, up 0.04% today.
Well,
$86.
There you go, folks. Google continues to enjoy the ride.
There was a very interesting piece in Salon magazine entitled, "Atheism Starts Its Megachurch. Is it a religion now?"
Boy, some of the atheists I've known are way more fervent than many of the devoutly religious people that I know.
It says the non-religious assembly is perhaps the fastest growing church in the world, and it's coming to a mall near you, by Katie Englehart.
Mm-hmm.
So organized atheism is now a franchise.
Well, there you go. So if you really feel like you must wear a label that says what your preferred spiritual affiliation is, mm-hmm. here's one for the rest of us, rest of you. I myself am a profound believer in everything. I think we have so much mystery in the universe that we just can't stop by defining it in past ways like normal traditions or future ways.
The writer here thinks that if this guy is really sincere about being an atheist, then he can't run a business.
Excuse me?
Or a religion. He can't run a religion.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, because, like, here's the final paragraph. "Like any attempt at organized non-belief, the Sunday assemblies will attract their fair share of derision from critics. But the franchise model might dismay some followers, too." Franchise model for non-religion. "For a corporate empire needs an executive board, a brand needs brand managers, a federation needs a strict set of guiding tenets, and consequences for those who stray from the fold. And isn't that all wholly opposed to free thought?"
Interesting. Well, I've always thought that religions primarily are social groups so that people have a chance to air out their beliefs and to have profound, intelligent discussions about things that are mysteries. So I think the main thing that we all should agree on is that we should have respect for the spiritual world and the spiritual aspirations of humanity. All right, some people want to form a religion around what not to call God, right?
Well, yeah, as soon as there's stratification, as soon as it's not all one, as we say, or all equal, or all God, it's all the same thing, really.
Yeah.
Before that, it is all separate and stratified. And then that's the way the universe works. But thing is, as we judge it, rather than just accept it for what is, then that's where the problem lies, because then we start seeing people as less than ourselves. And as soon as there's an unequalness in perception, the other becomes less than human and deserves to not be here or not get in your way.
Right. Yeah, I do tend to see religious differences as turf wars among people who are all wanting to own the whole thing. But really, if there's only one oneness and we're all part of it and it's all divine, religion is really just like charm school. Which one is your particular favorite?
It's like a preference set.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the thing that will affect our belief systems along these lines was a very interesting piece in the Scientific American blogs this week called What Will the Internet Be in 2050? I thought that was simply fascinating.
Okay, give us some insights. What will the internet be in 2050?
Okay, this is written by a guy named Cadell Last.
Cadell Last.
Yeah. Something for Dr. Future to talk about.
The last word on the internet of the future. Okay.
And he's a evolutionary anthropologist. Now, anthropologists mostly study other cultures. In this case, it's his fascination to study the internet itself as a phenomenon, as an anthropological phenomenon. You know, he points out the obvious initially, that we have a global computer-based communications network, and that it's fundamentally changing our socio-cultural political landscape.
Yeah, that one's kind of hard to miss.
Though saying that and then looking exactly how it's changing our socio-cultural landscape, like jobs going away, you know, things that just don't make sense from the old paradigm's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
As an evolutionary anthropologist, he points out that there's been no previous communications revolution even close to this in speed or intensity ever happening in the history of our species.
Right.
Sure.
It's like all of our brain cells just grew a body and became a new planet in one generation.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And consequently, this communication tool, he says, gives us the power to completely restructure our entire existence, both on an individual and collective level.
Sure.
That's the new myth that we're looking for, in a sense. What's the new story of humanity?
Yeah, we need a unifying story that helps us all participate in the same storyline instead of fighting over which storyline we're a part of, right? I love the diagrams of this article where it looks like a dandelion, you know, the map of all of the new kinds of information and understanding that is being communicated through the internet. The fiber of the lines created by connecting concepts in ways that they've never been connected before holistically.
It's very organic.
Looks like a new life form.
Yeah. And if you look at the internet over its evolution, it almost looks like the evolution of a fetal nervous system.
Right.
It's fascinating to look at it.
Yeah. So it's sort of, I like the idea that as above, so below.
Yeah.
Our planet is a brain cell of a galactic brain.
Well, if it's all alive, of course, it's going to be something like that. The question is it all alive? You know, I think scientists are divided on that.
Well, why do we need to discuss that question? Why don't we just treat everything that we can connect as part of the system? Why do we have to decide which is alive and which is dead?
Well, maybe we don't. It depends on where we're coming from. By the way, happy birthday, Greg Panos.
Greg Panos? Is it Greg Panos' birthday today?
That just came in. It's one of our
Greg
listeners out
Panos,
there.
Greg Panos, one of our favorite guests. And he told me last week, a little too late, that it was also Richard Cray's birthday last week.
Uh-huh.
And these two people are very dear friends of ours and have contributed a lot to this show over the years. Both brilliant in their own range. Perhaps you remember them. Mm-hmm. Greg is our leading commentator on the development of augmented reality. He's writing the Augmented Reality Sourcebook. And Richard is an absolutely amazing singer who we occasionally get the rare privilege of hearing him perform from some of his favorite shows that he's been in. He's a theater actor and singer. Happy birthday to both of you guys.
Yes,
a little late for Richard and right on time for Greg. Happy to know about it. Good job, guys.
Yes.
Glad you're here.
And I think you'll appreciate the conclusions of this cultural anthropologist. He says that, consider that we're giving the Internet more and more data every year, and we keep using the Internet more and more every year, and that more and more people are using it and more are able to use it. And he says the end goal of these trends is evident. We will eventually have all of our lives recorded in some way, shape, or form on the Internet.
Oh, yeah. You're definitely an early bird in that particular race, Dr. Future. You've been recording your life for how long now? How many years?
As long as I can remember.
Right.
And then I turn on my augmented memory, and I can go back a little bit further, but...
That's right.
It's beyond that even.
That's right. Stay tuned to the Dr. Future show here in the future, my friends, because we are working on our own Wayback Machine where we're going to turn Dr. Future's archives into a new kind of media game.
1987, that's it. Video every day back to 1987.
That's right.
That's in the archives.
That's right. And we have our programmer, Mark, working with us to create the lifetime archives of Al's recorded memories.
Yes, and all of us will have, well, we already do. We have digital memories now,
That's right.
More and more so, every generation.
We have digital memories, and we're trying to figure out the map of those memories so that we can recall them when we want them.
Like, you know, the inheritance from my grandfather fits in a single suitcase.
That's right, and that's all those pictures, photo albums, letters, a reel of tape from 8mm video.
And his grandfather, everything that we have today of his, maybe a shoebox, if
that's
that.
Right. That's right.
And now we have massive terabytes every few days when you start considering audio, video, recording of your entire life. So it is evolving very, very rapidly. The thing is, it just won't lie in the closet. Your past will be alive. You know,
yeah.
Much like your memory is alive. And
maybe you and your recorded past avatar will have to have a duel for who gets to sit in the driver's seat in the automatic car. Right.
You'll have all kinds of conundrums like that in the future, for sure. But
we need to go to another break.
Let's take that. But after the wearables revolution, the internals revolution will begin.
Oh.
But we won't go there yet. Wearables. Let's stick with the wearables revolution.
All right, folks.
Okay?
This is the Dr. Future Show. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned for more.
Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. Did you know that the iPhone wins in the U.S. House?
What do you mean?
Well, Apple fans apparently make up a majority of the U.S. House, according to an NBC Meet the Press survey.
So in Congress, the House of Representatives are mostly Apple fans?
In total, 58% of the House uses an iPhone. 58%. More than twice as many as the 23% using Blackberries. And Androids, a mere 4%. A mere four in the House. That's Democrats and Republicans.
Oh, boy.
Four.
So does that mean that our elected officials are not representative of the rest of the country in terms of their preferences?
Well, I don't know, but it'd be interesting to see. We got some KSEO hats coming
boy.
In.
Oh, boy. MZ is bringing a box of hats.
Well, rainbow colors.
That's right. We're getting our choice here. Well, there's blue, red, white, tan, and Michael's favorite, orange. And bumper stickers. And I know that we're doing
small
all kinds
media.
Of promos, right, Michael? If people come down to the station and buy some Longevity products, we give them a free hat. Is that right?
Yes.
Airman Truck.
Healthy Start hat, free KSEO hat, free K's autograph book.
There you go.
Nice. I like the new way it fits your head so nicely. It's a form-fitting design. Good choice.
It's great.
Yeah, I like it.
Highest quality
that money can buy.
Okay, have a good one, you guys.
Thanks,
Thank you, Michael.
We'll see you later.
Yeah, my own aunt.
Back to the penthouse.
Perks of being here. Fantastic.
That's right.
Almost as good as the house. Okay, then get this. Now, a further breakdown in the House showed that 61% of Republicans in the House use an iPhone and 56% of Democrats. So can you believe that? There are more Republicans than Democrats using iPhones.
Well, they're really great ways to stay on the Internet. They're really great ways to tweet. We like them.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this survey was carried out over a two-week period in September via calls and emails to every congressional office, with responses received from 88% of the House members. 51 members, or 12%, declined to take part in this survey.
Mm-hmm.
12%.
All right. So except for the 12% who would not say, it would appear that the Democrats and the Republicans are iPhone fans.
Exactly.
So there you go, folks. Now you know what your elected representatives are using to stay in touch.
There's a thing that caught my geek's mind, a piece on some new smart Christmas lights that are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
There's an Australian company that created these incredible lights that have all kinds of programmable patterns and designs.
Oh,
and self-programmable
lights.
That's done on your iPhone for creating amazing holiday light shows.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. So I looked at the demo, which we have linked to our page if you care to see it. It's Holiday Christmas Smart Lights by Moores Cloud, like M-O-O-R-E-S, Moores Cloud.
Right.
It's the world's smartest Christmas lights. I looked into the brains of this, and it looked pretty amazing. You could use your phone to adjust it between 16 million colors, and you can choose pre-programmed patterns or create your own, and you can have a timer that sets it to go on and off, and it's all controlled by your device. And the founder and CEO of this company was somebody named Mark Pesce.
The Mark Pesce who invented Vrml, V-R-M-L.
Co-founded Vrml.
Co-founded, right, with Tony Parisi.
Tony Parisi's part of this company as well.
Oh, boy. They're together again,
now,
huh?
These guys were promulgators of the first virtual world. So the idea that cyberspace could become real. The original founders of the whole holodeck thinking that sort of thing could be real. And these guys are now at a company designing Christmas lights.
Very cool very Christmas lights that make nerds happy.
Yes, yes. Wow. Maybe this is it. Maybe you need to do something like a commercial product that makes incredible Christmas lights to finance your dream of building new parallel universes. Maybe that's what you need.
You do. You have to depart. You have to bring the virtual world into the real world so that you can leave the real world with the virtual world.
Yeah.
It's all connected somehow.
Putting the brains of a smartphone into each string of your lights.
Okay, so of course, new inventions are always kind of pricey now. These are 50 bulb strings of lights, and they can display in programs. They can be programmed to run in 16 million plus colors, and you can control them with your mobile phone, your tablet, or a web app. They'll be shipping in November. These are a little pricey for beautiful lights, for Christmas lights. They're $129 per string, but they're really cool. So for people who like beautiful, novel, programmable lighting, we have a link for you.
And if you want to use those lights to light something really interesting, I found this amazing article on women, believe it or not, on how the average woman looks in different countries, using a computer analysis of all the faces of women worldwide. So you have the average woman of Germany, of France, of England, the Netherlands, Argentina, Italy, Korea, China, Russia, Burma, the entire world presented here, Chad, Ethiopia.
My goodness, all of these women are absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, they're all beautiful women, average beautiful women from cultures from around the world. I thought that was a very interesting little example of data set overlay.
Wow.
You know, and really grasping more the totality of the feminine in our species, just looking into the eyes of all these gorgeous women from around the world.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Future. You know, I'm so glad you appreciate beauty.
Amazing.
These are really cool faces, the average woman faces in different countries. So
I'm glad you like it.
Sort of tell by the features where they might be from. Huh. Fascinating.
A couple other news items. Aviation Week this week announced that the jetpack has moved a step closer to reality.
Oh, boy, that somehow takes me way back to Lost in Space, the jetpack.
Well, you know, maybe the Jetsons, after all. Non-traditional ways of flying, the ultimate dream that a human being can fly unencumbered.
Yeah, the jetpack is really the motorcycle of the airplane game, right? It's the flying motorcycle.
Basically, yeah. I mean, you basically...
No wheels, just a shoulder pack and go fly to your destination.
Yeah, strap on your pack and off you go.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's what it is. It's the backpacker model.
Yeah, well, the backpack does more than just carry stuff.
Uh-huh. Right.
You know, it's also a means of propulsion.
So what is the big breakthrough in jetpacks?
It's a serious design. It flies by wire, and it's come standard, ballistic recovery parachute. It's got a maximum speed of 40 kilometers an hour. It can cruise at 30 kilometers per hour. It's got a 30-kilometer range. You can use it for getting to the top of ski hills, border patrol, search and rescue, of course, the usual immune system things. But I think for fun, it definitely could spawn a whole new type of sport activity.
Wow. Yeah, so they have manned mm-hmm. and unmanned flight tests mm-hmm. of this prototype.
Yeah.
So, hey, I guess they're going for automatic jetpacks as well as cars.
Exactly. New Zealand. And they could use it because they're Hawaii for New Zealand is Fiji, the islands down the South Pacific there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's hundreds of islands. And if you had a jetpack, you could just hop from island to island.
There you go. Island hopping with your jetpack.
Yeah,
now,
that's
that
a
is a Dr. Future original.
Yeah, it's the kind of environment where you really could use something like that. Now, here
Sign
is
me up.
Questionable. You know, the roads are pretty good and everything. So that's why America probably would not be the innovative place for some of these new technologies.
I think we'll have to write them and find out how soon can we rent a jetpack on the beach to go island hopping in New Zealand. All right, Martin Aircraft.
Yeah.
We'll definitely put a bookmark on that.
Yes. Which reminds me, the scientists are trying to figure out where imagination comes from.
Oh, yes. Scientists do wonder about that, don't
yes.
they? Of course, ask any child.
Yeah. Well, why do we create art? Why do we invent stuff? Why do we come up with crazy ideas like jetpacks, island hopping? Well, the answer, according to the Dartmouth scientists, lies in a widespread neural network. Basically, the network itself, it's like the cloud, right? It's not any particular brain tube, if you will, or brain segment and brain component. It's the whole thing. It creates a field like our Wi-Fi networks in our homes.
Uh-huh.
And that's where the creativity comes from, that mental workspace.
Uh-huh. Okay, so let's see. According to the picture here, there are 11 areas of the brain that show different kinds of activity using an MRI to measure how humans manipulate mental imagery.
Yeah, different parts of the brain are contributing to the field.
Mm-hmm. So some people are doing the map to really try and understand the thoughts.
The projector of consciousness.
Some people think consciousness depends on the cells. We've got about 4 minutes, and we've got Mark in San Juan Bautista, who I guess wants to comment on something.
Absolutely. Bring on Mark.
All right. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the Dr. Future Show.
Oh, thank you. You know, I just turned on the program. I just got through watching a race of the most efficient sailboats ever in the world and just thought the futurists might want to check it out because tomorrow's the last, the sudden death for America's Cup. And these boats are just incredible and futuristic.
Awesome.
Wow, that's great. Where are you watching the America's Cup?
Well, actually, I was up in San Francisco over the weekend and yesterday, and then today I was watching it on NBC Sports Channel. But I'll be back up to San Francisco tomorrow because it's spectacular. The TV coverage is unbelievable for sailboat racing.
In your mind, what was one of the top five things that really got your attention?
Lance, this is a developmental class, so just to give you an idea, the wings, they're not using sails, they're using hard wings with hydraulic controls like an airplane wing,
uh-huh.
and they're actually bigger than half of a 747 wing, sticking up in the air 130 feet, and then the boats are flying on hydrofoils, and they're hitting over 50 miles an hour going downwind. So what's really amazing to me is if you released a balloon at the Golden Gate Bridge and the boat took off after it, it would get to Alcatraz much faster than the balloon, about 1.8 times wind speed.
Wow.
You mean it's going faster than the wind it's getting its lift from?
Correct. It can go downwind faster than the wind blows.
That is amazing.
1.8 times.
So who are you rooting for? Who are your favorite stars in the
Cup? Well, we have the New Zealanders versus Oracle USA, and the New Zealanders did a fantastic job developing because this is a brand-new boat. Huh. It's a developmental class. It's sort of a box rule that allows development, and they were very good at their development procedures and came out of the box winning races like crazy. And Oracle has come back with their development of the boat and their procedures and has now won, I believe, 8 straight races.
Larry must be so proud.
The Kiwis were ahead of them going into halfway through this last race. And anyway, it's been great. So if you get a chance, check it out.
Yeah, the home team's up.
Thanks
that's
so
fantastic.
Much. All right, Mark. America's
team tomorrow, they start up 1:15.
1:15. Okay, thanks so much.
Yeah.
All right,
appreciate your call, man.
Love your show. See ya.
Okay. Great. See ya. Okay, folks, that's about it for the first hour, but we'll be back for the second hour. And
we have
a guest coming on for the second hour.
We're going to be talking about the future of nuclear.
That's right. Yes, we've got Nick Woolert, who has worked in the nuclear industry, to give us a little reality check on Fukushima and the news that we should know and some of the news that isn't quite right. So hang tight. We'll be back after the sports, weather, and traffic with Dave Michaels. And this is KSEO Santa Cruz, San Jose, Salinas, Monterey, and the Dr. Future Show. We'll be back. Take care.
CBS News.